This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. An attempt at police reform has actually backfired. Can you imagine? In the single-party-controlled Washington State Legislature in Olympia, they passed a bill that restricted any use of force by the police, even in situations where it normally would have been necessary to protect people. And that now for people who are mentally ill, who are homeless, who are suffering among the most vulnerable, that has actually increased danger and increased suffering. And we will get to that. There's also more indication that the majority, perhaps, of Sound Transit riders, and again, that's an elite group, the Sound Transit riders, there aren't a lot of people riding the damn train. But the 30 to 40% at least of Sound Transit riders, some people say as much as 70%, don't pay their fares. This is what the agency itself estimates, and a different estimate suggests the number could be much higher, between 40% and 70%. Now, what does these two stories both show? They show that what is just unbelievable is the impact of a one-party state. And there's actually a surprisingly strong and I think pretty wonderful editorial that ran today in the Seattle Times. And for people outside Seattle, this goes to the very heart of attempting to make Washington State and basically to make the country more functional and more balanced and more democratic. The editorial today in the Times is by Greg Jane, who is a syndicated columnist, and he's an editorial page editor for The Columbian in Vancouver, Washington, which is actually suburban Portland. And the headline, Republican Growth is Good for Washington State. And if you disagree with that, by the way, and you think it's terrific for the Republican Party to be irrelevant and to remain on the fringe in this particular state, you can give us a call, 1-800-955-1776. The latest insight from Seattle-based pollster Stuart Elway is good news for Republicans in Washington, Greg Jane writes. Let's start with the numbers. Elway, who has been taking the pulse of Washington voters for decades, finds that 36% of Washington residents self-identify as being Democratic. Keep that in mind, 36%. 29% now identify as being Republican. That leaves a whole lot of room, he writes, in the undecided middle. But in a state where voters do not register by party, it is meaningful. That is the best possible measure of the zeitgeist in the state. In July, Elway says 18% of Washingtonians identified as Republican, and the increase since then echoes national polls. In other words, you've increased from 18% to 29%. Now, why is that? Do you think it's because the Republicans are doing so well? What have you heard recently about Washington Republicans? Not much, because they're irrelevant. What you've heard is how badly the Democrats have screwed things up in Olympia, and especially in Washington, D.C. Look, it should be very obvious that the people of the United States, including the people of Washington State, are looking very seriously at the problem of mismanagement from the federal government. Despite this shift, and it's a very big shift, and here's what Elway said about it. He said, in the 30 years I have been measuring party identification in Washington State, this has been rare to see so large a shift from 18 to 29% who consider themselves Republican. Elway wrote that in an article for crosscut.com. Despite that shift, it must be noted the Democratic Party is still dominant in Washington. We haven't elected a Republican governor since 1980, which is 42 years, or preferred a Republican for president since 1984, or elected a Republican to the U.S. Senate since 1998. In recent years, Democrats have taken control of the state Senate and increased their advantage in the state House to 58-41. That has not always served the people of the state well. That's to say the least. Not because, writes Greg Jane, red states are better run than blue states. On average, they aren't. But because no state benefits from one-party rule. And one of the reasons for that is a lack of qualified candidates representing the party that is relegated to second-class status. And then he goes through how for some of the statewide offices, the last time in the last election, which, remember, is just a little bit more than a year ago, that for many of those candidates, like the one for insurance commissioner, they weren't people that ever run for office before. They were people with somewhat eccentric ideas, not quite out there with Good Space Guy, but who is a perennial Seattle figure on the ballot running for something. And his platform, whatever he's running for, including mayor, is basically developing space colonies for humanity. But in any event, they point out that in most nationwide, statewide elections 2 years ago, Republicans weren't simply defeated. They didn't show up with the best and the brightest of their party finding more productive things to do rather than fight an unwinnable battle. And this is a shame that it even is known as an unwinnable battle. It was really... two gubernatorial races back, Bill Bryant was a candidate for governor. And before that, Rob McKenna was a candidate for governor in a very close race. And what they're talking about here is actually motivating more people, maybe with these encouraging polling numbers, Republicans to contest legislative seats. I'm very encouraged that we have a terrific challenger to the Democratic, Kim Schreier, the Democratic congressman from who's a part of the Seattle suburban area. And Kim Schreier is being challenged, among others, by Reagan Dunn, who is on the King County Council and is outstanding. And that 8th district, his mother once held that seat. And... he's a terrific candidate. He's been on the show frequently. Greg Jane goes on, now as polling shows, reports of the death of the Republican Party have been greatly exaggerated, and Democrats have themselves to blame for the Democrats in the legislature have spent only the early days of this year's session trying to dig themselves out of a hole by rethinking a long-term care act and police reform measures, and talking briefly about reducing penalties for drive-by shootings. Yeah, good idea. Those wounds have been self-inflicted, and Republicans are taking advantage. So let's talk about some of those wounds and more about how you end a pandemic. That and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVed Show.
Thank you.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Now, how could it be, you may ask, that a police reform bill that is supposed to be actually make things safer for people in general from police excesses could, quote, backfire? How could it not backfire? There's a profound story that is made all around the country. It's a story that originally appeared in the Associated Press, and it begins by saying, for months, Diane Ostrander worried desperately about her son. The 34-year-old had rambling conversations with the television and vowed to kill police. He ranted about children he didn't have being stolen. He wandered outside overnight in a rainstorm saying he needed to fix a power transformer. As his condition worsened, the police Ostrander begged for help, relayed a consistent message. A new state law meant officers couldn't take her son to get help against his will, even though mental health professionals and a judge ordered it. Democrats in Washington state approved the law known as House Bill 1310 as part of an ambitious police reform package that followed the protests for racial justice that swept the nation in 2020. The law's goal was to make it less likely police would use force unnecessarily or against the wrong person. It aimed to do that by restricting the use of force to cases where officers have probable cause to believe someone committed a crime or there is an imminent threat of injury, a standard found in no other state, and mandating that they use de-escalation techniques when possible. In other words, give more power to homeless, insane people and less power to the society in general as represented by police officers. The law has backfired, however, on some of the state's most vulnerable residents, including Ostrander's son, partly because it's unclear and partly because of how it has been interpreted by police, who had warned that the reforms could bring unintended consequences. There have long been calls for alternatives to police responding to mental health and substance abuse crises. Sometimes the presence of officers can exacerbate a situation. A new emergency number, 988, is launching nationally this summer to better coordinate such responses. This is going to be great. But police are still needed. In Washington, unarmed mental health professionals known as designated crisis responders can have people detained for evaluation if they pose a danger to themselves or others. House Bill 1310, however, includes no exceptions authorizing police to use force to help them. Police frequently took that to mean they're not authorized to do so. Well, of course they took it that way. And by the way, this same approach, actually, the idea that what you need to do is basically show more mercy and more understanding. This approach also is part of what is wrong with this other highlight in the Seattle Times. Sound transit fares on an unsustainable trajectory, CEO warns. And this has to do with the light rail and other aspects of Sound Transit. It says revenue from fares on Sound Transit buses and trains has cratered in recent years as operating costs climb, creating a financially unsustainable trajectory for the regional transit agency. So said CEO Peter Rogoff, speaking to board members last week. Depressed ridership because of COVID-19 underpins much of the drop in revenue, but Rogoff also blamed an increase in passengers who ride without paying, which comes as Sound Transit's enforcement presence is significantly scaled back. And by the way, when he says it's significantly scaled back, it just hasn't existed. The Rogoff's warnings come as Sound Transit works to revamp its approach to fare enforcement, which was shown to disproportionately land on people of color. This is unbelievable. He says, when you've got a situation with a 98% chance of being out on the system and not being contacted by anybody to have any conversation, that just lends itself to further noncompliance, he said. We need to get back to a place where our passengers are honoring the honor system that we're using. Rogoff's warnings come as Sound Transit works to revamp its approach to fare enforcement, which was shown to disproportionately land on people of color. The agency has previously engaged security guards to check the riders had paid before boarding, but is currently using the use of fair ambassadors instead. Now listen to this. And again, there is a very high representation of homeless people riding these buses and light rail. I know the only two times that my wife and I have read light rail, we were the only people in the cars we were in except for homeless people. Okay, fair ambassadors. The ambassadors are not authorized to issue citations for noncompliance, but instead they're offered to speak to the noncomplying passengers, in other words, the guys who didn't pay, and to offer them educational materials. There's also, speaking of educational materials, there's right now a lawsuit going on and claiming that what is truly necessary here is that they need to declare that there's a constitutional right to ride the light rail without paying. Does that sound like a good idea to you? This is part of what you get with the, I mean, who thought that it was a good idea, even in wonderful Seattle, to have operate a multi-billion dollar, approaching trillion dollar, transit system, to operate it based on an honor system. And, then when you ignore the honor system, and the estimate that they are now reporting is that people who know the system and look at the money, between 2019 and 2020, revenue from fares dropped from $96 million to just $30 million as ridership dried up. When revenue recovered 32% of Link Light Rail's operating cost in 2019, okay, how much does revenue cover of the cost of operating it now? 8%! The rest of it, for goodness sake, revenue from fares are earmarked now to cover 6% of the agency's costs. The rest of it is subsidizing, yep, homeless people. Good idea. How does that work with putting an end to the deadliest pandemic in recent history? Let's find out with the author of a book about the last deadly pandemic 100 years ago. Coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Gas prices keep going up. AAA reporting the national average price for regular is up another penny from Monday to $3.37 a gallon. That's the highest it's been in nearly 2 months. The lowest statewide average is in Mississippi at $3.02 a gallon. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken is set to speak on the phone with his Russian counterpart today about the tensions over Ukraine. Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov are expected to discuss the buildup of tens of thousands of of Russian troops on the Ukraine border and concerns over an invasion. Legendary quarterback Tom Brady is officially announcing his retirement from football. Brady posting on his Instagram he's not going to make that competitive commitment anymore. The seven-time Super Bowl champion set to turn 45 just before next season begins. USA Radio News.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Michael Medved Show, it is a pleasure to welcome back to this show John Barry, who is a distinguished scholar at the Tulane University School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. He is also the author of the definitive book about the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. It's called The Great Influenza, the story of the deadliest pandemic in history. And he has a powerful piece in the New York Times that I think that every American, every citizen of the world should read. It's basically what can we learn from how the 1918 pandemic ended. Dr. Barry, thank you very much for joining us.
A pleasure to be back. Hope everybody's well.
Thank God. Feeling fine, and so far we've been very fortunate with the pandemic, considering the numbers and considering how exhausted people are from what's been happening here. There was a piece by Monmouth, a poll that just came out yesterday, where they asked people, do you agree with the statement, COVID is here to stay, and we just need to get on with our lives? 70% of Americans agreed with that. Only 28% disagreed. How would you answer that, Dr. Barry?
Well, actually, I would agree with that. But that doesn't mean that you don't make any adjustments whatsoever. The virus is still out there. You know, Omicron is less virulent than its preceding versions of the virus, and yet, you know, the seven-day average death toll is actually higher than it was with Delta because it infects so many more people. You know, it's not necessarily either or. There are a lot of reasons for optimism. I think, you know, the future is bright both in terms of probably the mutation of the virus and certainly when you start getting some of the drugs in large quantities. But you know, what happens between now and then is not at all clear. It's quite possible that the next variant is actually worse than what we've seen. You know, that's what happened in all four previous pandemics that we know about. You know, 1918, 1957, 1968, and 2009. All of them had, you know, a couple years later, and in one case 3 years later, a serious uptick that at least in some parts of the country was deadlier than any of the earlier variants that circulated.
And so what you're saying, as I read your article, is that it would be very dangerous to ignore the sort of precautions that everybody's gotten used to, which is getting vaccines, getting the booster, which I know you feel particularly strongly about, is the booster shots. And we, so far, only 20% of kids over five have gotten vaccinated, but we want all the schools to open. Right. How does that work?
I mean, it's, you know, sort of oxymoronic. Look, I mean, 2 years ago, I was in a distinct minority when I thought we should have never closed the schools. So, you know, I'm not somebody who thinks you should live your life in a box. I'm not someone who doesn't think that economic consequences don't count. They do. But everybody wants schools open, particularly parents. And yet, as you just said, you know, no more than 20%, I think a little less than that, of the kids are vaccinated. So the way to make sure the schools stay open is to get the kids vaccinated. It's, you know, just doesn't make sense to ignore that and stick your head in the sand.
What do you say to voices that claim that the vaccines now are more dangerous than the virus?
Well, I mean, just look at real numbers. I mean, that's just it's just not true. It's a lie.
Yes, and again, it's unfortunately it's a deadly lie for a lot of people. One of the questions, and you'd be the perfect person to answer it, and I hope you can. The United States of America, we haven't ignored the virus. We've disrupted our lives. We have gotten some 70% of people who are vaccinated now. Why do we lead the world in terms of deaths from COVID?
Because we've been so divided and politicized. You know, of course, you know, it's possible. You know, our numbers are accurate. There are other countries in the world whose numbers are wildly inaccurate. It's possible, maybe even likely, that there are some other countries that have a worse per capita toll that are you know, developed, but certainly our numbers are terrible. There is, you know, practically every other developed country in the world has better numbers, almost all of them. Some of them incredibly much like Australia, which is very much like the United States culturally and demographically. If you adjust it for population, they have fewer than 3,000 dead. If you adjust for population, that's like 35,000 in the United States, and we've got close to 875,000. It's, you know, that's just a sign of how poorly we've managed it.
Wait a minute. Just to get this clear, what you're saying is that if proportionally we had the same proportion of deaths per capita as Australia, we
right.
would have lost 35,000 people, not close to a million.
That's correct.
That's the most horrifying thing I've heard
today.
And
it's a free country that has often been compared to Texas culturally. You know, demographically very similar to the United States.
So what would you advise?
I mean, they call themselves liberal, but they're liberal in the classic sense. So they're actually a conservative government.
Okay, and that conservative government has been, have they had fewer lockdowns than we have?
No, they've had, you know, obviously their lockdowns, that's how they, you know, get the death toll down, has been more rigorous than the United States, but their economy is not done any worse than the United States. And according to the OECD, it's projected to do better than the United States economy. You know, Japan's another example with, you know, considerably way much less than half the per capita death toll. Whose economy has functioned quite well. They manage things by just common sense, you know, avoid closed spaces, crowds, you know, it just, again, you use common sense. I don't live in a box. I go out every day, but I'm not going to eat inside a restaurant. I do wear a quality mask, a KN95. On occasions, if I'm flying, I'll wear a regular N95. And, you know, as I just said, I get on airplanes. I don't live in a box, but I take the common sense precautions.
I think what you're saying is something people need to hear. You also mentioned before the politicization. That is a unique problem to the United States. Well, I guess I have some of it in Canada now with the, quote, freedom convoy that has disrupted the capital there. But, again, if we could approach this as a matter of public health and common sense, which is what it is, you don't expect that the pandemic is going to end anytime in the immediate future, which is too bad. But maybe at least we could make the moves that put us closer to that direction. And that does not involve ignoring the virus or its dangers or exaggerating the dangers, if any, of actually precautions like vaccines and boosters. John Barry, it's a great pleasure speaking to you. His book on the 1918 pandemic, Indispensable, his perspective worth considering and taking to heart. We will be right back on the MedVed Show.
God help me, I'm addicted to
the Michael MedVed Show.
Pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Michael Medved Show, they are offering a tremendous sale over at MedvedHistoryStore.com. And this is not on our history programs, which of course are free to MedHead Plus members for the cost of membership, which is 22 cents a day. Really pretty modest. No, this is actually a different offer on CD form, or you can get them downloaded. This is more than 15 different recordings of speeches, public presentations that I've given over the years. I hate to tell you, I don't even remember some of them. But they're fascinating. They have to do with big lies about the Constitution, shocking truth about Hollywood and economics and political influence in Hollywood, major lies that undergird people who seek the destruction of Israel, and much more. And that's all available now at half price at MedvedHistoryStore.com. And again, a lot of these presentations feature questions and answers, even some engagement. And it's a fascinating package, a package with more than 14 hours of stimulation and education at MedvedHistoryStore.com. We are talking before about the basic failure of the United States, which I do think has to do, and it's one of many, many, many indications, that our politics is just not in good shape here. There are reasons why you have now, it's close to 3/4 of Americans think we're headed in the wrong direction. And it's not just the United States, where everything has become extreme, angry, politicized. Everything is, even when you're talking about the idea of trying to collect fare from people when they ride on light rail. And some people actually use that as a warm, safe place to stay on riding back and forth and back and forth. Honestly, we can do better. But it's kind of comforting in a way to hear, as depressing as the story itself is, the context that it's not just the United States should be pretty clear from Ottawa. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada yesterday lashed out at protests against pandemic restrictions over the weekend in Ottawa. chastising demonstrators for desecrating war memorials. I think that urinating on them or dancing obscenely on war memorials counts as desecrating. Desecrating war memorials for wielding Nazi symbols. What Nazi symbols? Those good old Nazi flags. They're back. And stealing food from the homeless. The stealing food from the homeless is basically coming into... They have over 100 trucks parked in different parts of Ottawa, blocking traffic and basically closing things down and making it difficult for Parliament, which, as I understand, back in session, to get anywhere. But the protest was a culmination of a group of Canadian truckers and their supporters who drove from Western Canada to Ottawa to challenge government vaccine mandates. Speaking from self-isolation after he and two of his children tested positive for the coronavirus, Prime Minister Trudeau said he understood the frustrations of Canadians exasperated by a pandemic that has taken a heavy toll, but he criticized the protesters for flying racist flags, for hurling abuse at small business owners, spreading disinformation, and in one case, going to a homeless shelter in downtown Ottawa and demanding food. They got it, by the way. There is no place in our country for threats, violence, or hatred, he said, adding that the convoy was not representative of a majority of truckers, 90% of whom are vaccinated. And I would imagine that the businesses they work for want their truckers to be vaccinated. But the objection to all of this, it's insane. An Ottawa law enforcement spokeswoman said yesterday that the police had begun several criminal investigations following the desecration of monuments and other threatening behavior during the protests in Canada's capital. A loosely organized, and they put it in quotes, freedom convoy of trucks initially began as a response to a regulation requiring the truckers returning from the United States to show proof of vaccination. But the protest grew into a more general rallying cry by people opposed to pandemic restrictions and to Prime Minister Trudeau. The demonstrations dominated social media in Canada and received wide media coverage. Ottawa police on Monday said 8,000 protesters had been in downtown Ottawa on Saturday, a small fraction of the numbers claimed by some convoy participants and organizers. Ahead of the demonstrations, Mr. Trudeau dismissed the protesters as a small fringe minority and said they would not lead his government to reverse the vaccine mandates. As in much of the rest of the world, Canadians are suffering pandemic exhaustion after enduring months of truncated lives, illness and death, lockdowns and shuttered restaurants, hours of worship and houses of worship and gyms being suspended and interfered with. But in a country with a strong deference to scientific authority and a vaunted universal health care system, opinion polls have consistently shown strong support for public health measures aimed at maintaining the containing the coronavirus. More than 77% of Canadians are fully vaccinated, which puts them very well ahead of us, as they are in terms of the death rate and other measures. A key organizer of the Freedom Convoy was Tamara Litch, who is secretary of the relatively new Maverick Party. This is a right-of-center group that promotes the separation of Canada's three western provinces from the rest of the country. So they're talking about secession in Canada, and this has nothing to do with language, because that one would be Quebec, which is not in the west, it's in the east. While the protests were at times unruly, a majority of the protesters were peaceful. Nevertheless, urine stains were seen on snow covering the National War Memorial on Sunday morning, and demonstrators were also seen dancing on top of the tomb of the unknown soldier. The police towed vehicles that protesters had parked on the memorial, and Jim Watson, Ottawa's mayor, said protesters had disrespected the country's war dead. Some people who may not have been involved in the convoy had also called for an attack on Parliament, similar to the January 6, 2021 storming of the U.S. Capitol. But such calls for violence were criticized by the convoy's organizers, as well as by many protesters. In terms of the Capitol and the controversies involved therein, we're going to be speaking tomorrow to Frank Luntz, who has been doing a whole group of focus groups, some of which were cited in a big piece in the New York Times. And that piece has to do with what the Times reports is a change in Trump's relationship with the Republican base. And while he still remains by far the most popular Republican in the country and the one that most Republicans, but it's not most anymore, it's not a majority, that he has more support than anybody else. But the latest poll, and it's a brand new AP poll, shows that 44% of all self-identified Republicans don't want Trump to run again in 2024. And what's that about? Part of it, they say, is President Trump is alienated people because of his sane and decent position on vaccines. In other words, wanting to save people's lives. Is that an appropriate reason to question his future? Well, there are plenty of those. And we'll talk about it in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
I'm Al Simon, 91 years young. I created Balance 7 20 years ago. At 67, I went to see the doctor for the first time in my life and found that I had medical problems. He told me that was normal for my age. I don't believe God intended us to be sick and old. I decided to find something to bring my health back. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the human system. Balance 7 gave me back what I lost by getting older. I no longer get out of bed with a joint discomfort. Balance 7 can do for you what it has done for me and many others. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking the healthy immune system. Bring your body back to balance.
Order now. Receive free shipping with the code word AL. Go to balance7.com. That's balance7.com. Order now and get your free shipping and a free gift with your order. Go to balance7.com. Use the code word AL.
In the United States, heart failure impacts more than 6 million adults, leading to about 1 million hospitalizations each year. Heart failure is a long-lasting condition in which the heart is unable to pump enough blood to meet the body's needs for blood and oxygen. But there are things people can do in consultation with their healthcare provider to help manage their disease. This is true for Ray, who is currently living with heart failure.
I find that communications with my doctors is key. This includes notifying them of any changes in heart failure symptoms and listening to their advice.
To help support people living with heart failure by providing educational resources, Merck, in collaboration with Mended Hearts, has introduced At the Heart of the Matter, Moving Forward After Your Heart Failure Hospitalization.
While it can be discouraging at first to hear that you have heart failure, you eventually find out you aren't alone in this journey.
Learn more, know more. Visit attheheartofthematter.com for more information. This segment is brought to you by Merck.